You.
Blog Talk Radio.
You. Yo, Dre. Yo, Dre, you hear me? Yo. 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 Yeah, all right. Yeah, I had to mute you and then put you back live. I don't know what the fuck happened. All
right. Watch it all right.
You good? Nah.
Oh, hold on, man. Hold up. You not on yet?
No. And it's just me and you.
Hold on. Going on.
All right.
We're talking NBA. Ian Solomon, OLED. I got Ian Solomon doing that shit clearly. And appreciation with doing this, your own TV raps and Rap City, the best of, you know, appreciation for those video shows back in the day.
That's
cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You remember Hits in the Street?
What? Yo, Hits in the Street was about shit, nigga. Yo, that nigga was a clown. Son, come on, man.
I need money.
I love Hits in the Streets, man. For real.
I miss all them shit, dog.
Yeah, for real. That's a fact. Watch ain't on yet? We still in the team, man.
All right, he on now. I'm about to mute him.
All right. PSA motherfucking hip hop, man. Watson, what's good, man?
Hello. How are you doing?
Fuck out of here with your whack ass introductory, man. What's up, nigga? Let's get right into the shits, man. NBA, man, it's been lit, Watson. It's been lit. The trade talks, all this shit. We're going to get into that in a minute. But for some reason, you said you want to harp on OKC to set the show up, sir. Go ahead.
OKC is on a 7-game win streak. And I know that one of your least favorite players in the NBA, Russell Westbrook, had another triple-double. And, you know, you are very strong in your opinion that he is a bad decision-maker. He doesn't make smart decisions. And as you
I was letting you get your balls off. I don't like to do that. Make sure you say the whole fucking story. When do I say Russ makes bad decisions?
Period.
No, you're lying. I said Russ makes bad decisions when the score is 99-99 with a minute left. That's when he makes bad decisions, right there. Go ahead, though. Clean that up right quick.
Well, in
false
your part of the woods, where you live,
I don't care for these Miami teams. Get the fuck out of here.
In Miami, OKC was there. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. And PG-13 hit 10 three-pointers. Tyler Johnson couldn't guard him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tyler Johnson. Fuck out of here. Yeah.
So, OKC, 7 games in a row. It needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be respected. They're playing in the Western Conference. They're on a road trip running through the Miami Heat. That must be acknowledged and appreciated.
Where do you have Paul George in your ranking for MVP right now, votes?
Top three, top four. Top three, top four.
Can you give us the names? I know Harden is number one on the list, correct?
Harden, Greek Freak, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard.
So you got Paul George over Kawhi?
No, those are my top MVP candidates.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're balling right now. I don't even think the Western Conference is that. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy. After Golden State is like in Denver, who else? I don't believe in the Rockets. What else?
And you don't
Portland?
Believe in OKC?
No.
And you don't believe in Portland? And you don't believe in San Antonio?
I don't believe in the Spurs at all. Hell no. I believe OKC a little bit. I don't believe in the Spurs at all. No.
Do you believe in the number one team in the West?
That goes what I'm fucking saying. I'm not even talking about them niggas, man.
I'm talking about the Denver Nuggets. They're the number one team.
Oh, the Nuggets, pardon me. Do I believe in the Nuggets? But I just don't for some odd reason, man. I just don't.
Let me
ask you this. If OKC and Denver play right now, who would you have them in? Who would you have winning right now between OKC and Denver?
Denver.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm shocked you went that way. All right. What else on the docket for the NBA talk? What else you got going on that you want to get off your chest before we talk some real shit?
I want to talk about all these trade scenarios that Magic Johnson is throwing at the New Orleans Pelicans to try to get Anthony Davis. When I'm reading my guy, Shams, my insider guy, my go-to insider guy.
Sam, hold up. Why is Sham your go-to guy over Woj? That don't even make no sense.
Woj is commercial mainstream. I go to Shams when I want to get insider stuff.
Sam, Sham getting shit from Woj. What the fuck are he talking about? Everybody, Woj is a god, my nigga. What are you talking about?
I listen, Sham is my go-to guy, man.
Sham over Woj? Yeah, though, man. All right. That's a different story, but yeah.
So the thing that's really incredible is that Magic Johnson is offering the entire team. Every single player, he's trying every package. He's trying to give up draft picks. And I've never seen in my life for one player, and let me be clear, Anthony Davis is not the greatest player to ever be traded in NBA history. Do you agree with me?
Of course I agree with you.
Okay. So saying that, I've never seen a president or general manager willing to trade an entire roster for one person. An entire roster. It's blowing my mind to the point that I don't see why New Orleans won't take the trade. Magic offered up everything, anything New Orleans wants, any package, any players, the number of draft picks, he put it on the table for them. According to my man, Sham the God, New Orleans is not taking the bait.
Well, my nigga, there is discussions about teams and other managers, I don't know if it's owners or general managers, that are going to New Orleans on some old, like, yo, don't cave in to what the Lakers want to do. We've seen Pop ship Kawhi across the border, my nigga. You feel me? You do make sense, though. I mean, I think this is the best deal that the Pelicans will probably get from any other team. Unless Anthony Davis and his pops, all of a sudden his pops want to get involved, that they don't want him going to Boston at all because of Isaiah Thomas. I think that's a weak-ass excuse, but guys, that's a weak excuse.
I think it's bothering so many people around the NBA is watching NBA media basically cheerlead and everyone act like they're Rich Paul. From Stephen A. Smith, who said he's praying that Anthony Davis gets traded to the Lakers. What would make NBA media guys, why is Anthony Davis going to the Lakers? Why does that mean so much to them? Do they not want
Because the Lakers are a story franchise.
So then why not say, why not want him to go to the Knicks? The Knicks are a story franchise.
We're not a story franchise like the Lakers, though. They have banners.
Okay. How does it improve the Lakers by trading away the entire roster and only having Anthony Davis and LeBron James? That's only two superstars. How does that improve?
Are you
the
saying? Are you saying before
else?
The trade? Well, are you saying it's before the trade? Because it depends on what you're saying, Watson. Are you saying for the trade deadline, or are you saying after the season?
I'm saying deadline. They're trying to get this trade done before the deadline.
To get a higher ranking in the seedings, I would think. You get Anthony Davis to get a higher seedings.
So you're
compared
saying,
to what they have now.
So you're saying Anthony Davis and LeBron, without the entire roster, they would be a better team than they are now?
Well, Lance Stevenson and Rondo, who else you have over there? And really, you separate. I can't judge that deal until next year, what Magic does. If he gets Anthony Davis, the surrounding pieces with him and LeBron. You feel me? And I think having Rich Paul as his agent doesn't help the matters also. It looks, for other teams, it looks like this is all premeditated. Let's say they had David Falk as his agent. Would niggas be going crazy like this?
Who's that? Who's David Falk?
Old agent back in the day for AI and all that.
Who's that?
David Falk, agent. His agent.
Oh, you mean Michael Jordan's agent, Patrick Ewing's agent, that guy?
Yes. Yeah,
that guy? Oh, yeah. Yeah! You know I know who he is, man. Stop playing with me, man.
That's not the point, man. You know him, man. The point I'm fucking making is this. Gun, do you agree, though, if Rich Paul was not the agent, niggas would not be acting like this? It's because of Rich Paul and his connection with LeBron?
What they think is the NBA fined them $50,000 because they basically felt this was collusion. They felt that this was – these two guys are cooking up something to get him over to play with LeBron. And
this is not a surprise. LeBron was cooking up with Chris Bosh and Wade in the Olympics to fucking join Miami. So niggas on the low, it's a different NBA, man. Niggas be talking, texting, group chatting and all this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Something else happened in the NBA, and I desperately need your opinion on it. The Golden State Warriors had an 11-game win streak, came to an end when they went into the city of brotherly love.
No, the brotherly love came to their city. It was an oracle. Yeah.
When the city of brotherly love came to Oracle. And the question I ask to you is, whose team is it in Philadelphia?
Oh, God. Here we go, man. You tell me whose team it is, nigga. How about that? You tell me.
It is Joel Embiid's team.
Okay.
And now we know why Joel Embiid said, I am not happy with less touches. Joel Embiid, like I
you
have
stop
said.
Saying that was a while ago. That was a
Joel
we were talking
Embiid,
about that weeks ago, my nigga. Not
Joel
ago. That was weeks ago.
Joel Embiid, like I said, is a modern-day Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, boy.
And you're seeing it. There is no old boy to it. He's a dominant center, the same way Hakeem was a dominant center.
With injuries. Make sure you say that with a bad back, with a very bad back. First it was the feet, now it's the back. Like, that's –
Well, with that
we
bad
pay attention
back,
to that.
He put up a 50-20 piece on Boogie Cousins. But I will say – That game may be hard to judge because your favorite, a.k.a. best player in the NBA after LeBron, Klay Thompson, didn't play in the game. So,
okay, there you go.
Do you resign Jimmy Smith, Jimmy Butler? Do you resign Jimmy Butler for the Supermax?
You kind of have to, all right? Because Ben Simmons is a point guard. I got to go look at Embiid's injuries. Jimmy Butler does play good defense. You kind of need to, don't you? He's already there, right?
You know what, though?
It depends how far they get in the playoffs. Can we go there? Let's say they get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
So you're
going seven games in the Eastern Conference Finals?
You're willing to give contracts based on a playoff series?
No, production in the playoff series. Make sure you leave that part. You can leave that part.
Isaiah Thomas, super bum who had a great playoff series with the Seattle Supersonics.
And let's not compare a 5'7" player to a 2-way player like Jimmy Butler. We're not doing that, are we?
And then overpaid for him to play for Nick. Do you remember that?
I'm not comparing Jimmy Butler, who's a 2-way player, to little Isaiah Thomas, who can't even jump over a fucking hydrant.
There's no such thing. Stop saying two-way player.
That's two-way player plays defense. Yes, that's not made up nothing, nigga. That's not made up of nothing. No, they don't. And some niggas stand out better. Some niggas stand out. No, first of all, not everybody in the NBA plays defense.
Everybody in the NBA plays defense.
No, they don't. No, the fuck they don't. No, they don't. They cut through screens. And no, they don't play defense, man. No, they don't. Yeah, no.
The myth of a two-way player. You don't have to say that. Okay.
Nigga, two-way fucking player. Fuck talking about.
Do you give Klay the Supermax?
Is it Golden State? Yes. Of course. You wouldn't.
So
let me guess. You wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't.
You can only give the Supermax.
You give it to Bradley Beal though, right?
No, you only can give the Supermax to KD or Klay. Who do you give it to?
You give it to KD.
Over Klay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want them to. So, wait a minute. How does this work then if they try to sign Klay and KD, Golden State? And Draymond?
The only reason why it's been working is because KD has accepted less pay. People are not realizing that every year KD has played for Golden State, he has accepted way below his average. That's why it's been working. That is why he said, I want to get paid now. People are trying to figure out how it works because KD is taking less money. So while KD takes these $27 million a year, people like Michael Conley make more than him, and people like Chris Bad, injury-prone Paul are making $40 million. Oh, so Chris Paul should be making more than KD. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not saying that at all.
Should he?
No, of course not.
Should
not
Chris
now.
Paul, okay.
Not now. What would you do?
They really, really need to win this championship because it's going to be very difficult to keep the same team that they have right now. It's just impossible because you got too many top tier players who are not getting top tier money. You have one Supermax player. You only have one Supermax player that's being paid, and that's Chef Curry with the shot.
Well,
everybody else wants that same contract or close to it. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
What do you think about Kristaps Porzingis getting traded to Dallas with my young boy, Luka?
I think Mark Cuban is very happy. His dream of having a European white team is coming to fruition. He loved having Dirk Nowitzki being the face of his franchise, a white European player. And now he has
Luka,
another white player, and a couple of weeks
ago he said
players will be so much better if they grew up playing basketball like Luka Brasi did in Slovenia. So I think for Mark Cuban and Dallas, this trade means everything. It keeps the face of the franchise white. It keeps his fan base it keeps his fan base looking relatable. So the white Dallas Cowboy, the white Dallas Maverick, the Donald Trump supporters that they are can relate to looking at white players.
What does that mean? You don't want to trade?
For Mark Cuban, it means NBA is about business. NBA is about a business. The business is we have white players who are stars who our people who pay for the tickets can identify with. So Mark Cuban is the happiest he's ever been in his life. He's never been this happy.
What about the trade now?
Now, let me give you from the Knicks side.
Thanks.
Frank Isola and Max Kellerman are full of shit. They're crying because they love Porzingis, and they miss Porzingis, and they want Porzingis to be there. Porzingis is full of shit. The Knicks did the greatest thing in the world to get rid of that motherfucking loser.
Well, we can lose out of losing. Come on, that's kind of harsh. Loser?
He's never been on the Knicks while they were a winner.
Well, him and Melo was together. I mean, come on, you don't win with Carmelo Anthony, you know what I'm saying? So, you know how that goes. You know? What do you think about Kyrie Irving coming to New York and KD? That seems to be the talk.
I think it's not going to happen.
Why is it not going to happen?
Because Frank Isola said so.
That's the reason why you so you're getting your information and your feelings off of
Frank Isola. Yes, the Knick insider.
Knicks fans don't even listen to Frank. We don't even listen to Frank.
Frank Isola.
What are you talking about? We don't listen to Bourbon. We don't Berman. Ian Bailey is official. We listen to Alan Hahn and Ian Bailey. The mother of the rest of them niggas is Fugazi, man. And I don't want Boogie Cousins because for some odd reason you're trying to keep throwing Boogie Cousins in my face. The Knicks don't need to get Boogie Cousins. We could at all. I don't want Boogie on my team at all. And I'm not taking no shots at Boogie, but I just don't want him on the Knicks. You, for some odd reason, want him and KD.
One of the things that's happening in the Eastern Conference is the Indiana Pacers are basically going to die a slow death without Oladipo. They're on a four-game losing streak, and it's only going to get worse. So that's going to help other teams. But so far, it looks like Milwaukee and Toronto are going to be 1-2. And
good for them. I just want the Knicks to lose games the way they are. I'm just mad that this is the first year they're implementing some bullshit that just because you have the worst record in the NBA, it's not automatic that you're going to get the first pick in the lottery. So that's my concern. All I care about is the Knicks getting the first pick. Let me finish getting these bars off. Knicks bars off, nigga. I want the Knicks to get the first motherfucking pick. We get Zion Williamson, bring Kyrie and KD, and we on and popping with Kevin Knox. Ain't nobody fucking with us. We get that squad, everybody's in trouble. You do know that, right?
So what's the new NBA rules now? The worst team is guaranteed the number one pick?
The worst team in the NBA is not guaranteed number one pick.
So
there's like a 50% chance.
It's going to be between New York, Cleveland, and Chicago.
And Atlanta.
So those are the four. Wow. My God, if you get number four, oh, man.
My nigga, don't bring your negative salt over here, man. Keep that shit over there, fam. You don't want that shit over here at all. I'm good. Kyrie, man. What do you think about Kyrie, man? A lot of conversations that he might not be happy in Boston. I saw an interview yesterday when they asked him about, is he planning on resigning with Boston? He said, ask me again in July. that I was kind of telling. What's your take on that?
And he said, I don't owe nobody shit.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that he said that. You and everybody else like to remind him how far they got in the playoffs without him. Y'all like to remind everybody.
I love Kyrie, but it's the truth.
So guess what? Y'all can do that again, and he'll be playing somewhere else.
And I'm cool with that as long as it's in New York and not L.A. I'm good. Well, then again, I'm going to say this, man. I want Kyrie. Well, Knicks fans, they're watching. Do you think it makes more sense to get Kemba Walker because he's less injury-prone than Kyrie just because of injury-prone shit?
The only way that would work is if you got KD. You can't get
Kemba
these guys without KD. You got to have KD. And
well, I low-key think the Knicks are tampering with KD on the low anyway.
And
I'm talking about Frank Isola, man.
Because Frank Isola was talking to Mike Golick on ESPN. He's around
Mike
the horn.
Golick?
Yeah,
man. While you're watching Mike Golick and Trey Wingo, and Mike Jr., I think I'm watching fucking First Things First with fucking Nick Wright and fucking CeCe and shit.
You can't watch them because you won't get anything other than people with pom-poms on for LeBron. So watching them, you'll learn nothing.
I watch them
NBA.
Over Golick. Nick Wright. Don't know about the NBA, man. Fuck out of here.
But that's why he brought on Frank Isola.
Yeah.
And Frank Isola says he does not think Kevin Durant is going to leave.
Well, a lot of other people think differently, so, you know, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. LeBron's back, man. What do you think, man? LBJ's back. Almost had a triple-double on his return.
LeBron James almost had a triple-double, and Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double and has had four triple-doubles in a row. My question to you is, if triple-doubles are so goddamn easy, how come Russell Westbrook is the only player in the NBA getting them?
How do you go from – I noticed you do that, and I learned it so good. How do you go from me asking that question about LeBron to Russell? How does that work?
Because you try to make an issue and highlight the fact that LeBron –
Yeah, after 17 games. Right. After 17 games of missing NBA action, the man came back and almost had a triple-double after missing 17 games.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double.
Right. And LeBron James is 34 years old. If Russell Westbrook is still averaging – a triple-double at 34, shout out to him. If Russell Westbrook is still good as LeBron James at 34, let me know.
I don't have to let you know. Russell Westbrook is doing something that me and you will never see ever again in the history of the game. And
well,
he's,
Paul
and
George's
he's
team,
doing
let's be clear on that. Russell is sitting shotgun right now. We do know that, right?
The same way he was sitting shotgun when he played with Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant had four scoring titles. Russell Westbrook
yeah, but he's
always
definitely
sitting
shotgun.
Russell
well, a lot of people
Westbrook
in Philly sitting shotgun, though.
Russell Westbrook has always been a team first player. He is
really?
Okay. So far the best player on that team. The gap is wider than the Grand Canyon.
I don't have him. I don't think he's having a greater year than Paul George. If I'm doing rankings of 2018-2019 season, I don't have Russell Westbrook over Paul George.
If Russell Westbrook says I'm going to take all the shots, Then Paul George doesn't.
Then they're doomed. Game. Then they're doomed.
That's right.
But that's
so
the case.
So Russell Westbrook is playing brilliant basketball, and you need to pay homage to that and respect it.
I like Russ. I have nothing, no qualms with Russ at all. Don't make it sound like that. Kawhi, man, stays in Toronto. You think or what?
I think he will stay in Toronto. I think Toronto is bending over backwards, pause, and letting him do whatever he wants.
They better hope.
Kawhi, you wanna play?
But if he walks out that door, if he walks out that door without them getting nothing, my nigga,
that's the risk. That's the risk they took when they traded him.
Yeah,
I believe he's gonna stay.
I hope you're right. Last question about the Pelicans, though. If you're the Pelicans, though, you got to make this call, though, right? You got to make this pull with all this shit the Lakers are offering you, right?
they're under intense pressure to not take the trade before the deadline. But if they take the wait-and-see approach, they are not going to get anywhere close to what the Lakers are giving them. And Anthony Davis is making it very clear, I'm not signing. Anthony Davis is telling everybody in the NBA, I'm not going to be signed with any team I go to. He has the leverage. So New Orleans, like, what are y'all going to do?
Yo,
like,
man.
Y'all are getting great return. Y'all losing a decent player, and y'all are getting back great bodies that y'all can do a lot with.
It's been rough for New Orleans, man. They had to deal with Lil Wayne's Carter Five album. The Saints got jerked in the playoffs, and now AD about to bounce. It's been rough, my nigga. They had to do all three of them shits right there, man. I want AD to go to LA, though. I ain't gonna lie to you, though. I want to see him on LeBron. I want to see him on LeBron. I think that'd be dope.
LeBron is willing
to play second fiddle. I think LeBron is willing to let AD run the team. He's just going to set shit up and play second fiddle. So let everything go to AD first.
You're wrong. AD will not run the team. LeBron will run the team.
He'll let AD get more shots off and all that.
Okay, and that's what wrong.
And his ego will not be in the way.
That is what Russell Westbrook is doing. And that is what Russell Westbrook is doing.
Well, he's finally learning that. He's finally learning that. In my opinion. All right, that's what it is, man. NBA talk, my guy. Let's talk some battle rap, my guy. One of your favorite battlers. Can I say of all time? Am I right when I say this? Of all time? Am I?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite battle rappers of all time, absolutely.
God bless you, nigga. Iron Solomon versus Ol' Red, the Transformer. And real quick, why is Ol' Red one of your favorites of all time, if you mind me asking? Can you let me in the comment boys know why?
Because he's better than everybody you and the comment boys like and listen to. He raps
makes no
better.
Sense.
He's more lyrical. He raps better. He's more lyrical. He has the greatest sports metaphors in the history of battle rap.
And he's consistent.
Everybody y'all listen to and love.
That doesn't make no fucking sense. You're like already B.I. winning all his battles. What the fuck are you talking about?
I know he beat Rumnity. He's a hero to y'all. Rumnity is a hero to y'all.
He beat Rumnity 4 years ago. Kenny died. 4 years ago. And if they had a rematch right now, Rumnity would beat the dog shit out of Oleg right now, nigga. Right
he
fucking now.
Wait a minute.
Rumnity's better than Ol' Red right now, my nigga. We're not going to do that. Right now he is.
A year ago. So what are you talking about?
No, he wasn't.
He was champion of the year in 2017.
Oh, yeah, Ol' Red, you're talking about Ol' Red. Pardon me, Ol' Red. You're right.
Yeah.
Which?
He did not have my vote.
I could tell you that.
But guess what? He got it, though.
Yeah. I never looked at Ol' Red as one of those niggas. I'm going to keep it real.
You look
at Ol' Red's career. What can I say like an NBA career? Like, it's like, I don't even know, man. I just don't think his career in battle rap has been all that great. Is Ol' Red a first-time Hall of Famer in battle rap?
Ol' Red is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't know.
Question.
I don't know, my nigga. I don't know if he's first ballot,
yo,
man.
Tell everybody how you feel about Ol' Red. You don't fuck with Ol' Red like that. You just need to say it. You picked Ab to beat him. Remember that?
And it's debatable. It wasn't clear that Ol' Red beat Ab.
You picked Ab to beat him, and
it wasn't clear.
I spammed your Twitter feed all week. Remember that? I spammed you nonstop when you picked Ab to beat Ol' Red because I knew you were bugging.
Get into this, man. Small room battle. I ain't Solomon. I Ol' Red. Ol' Red sets it off round one. Watson talks about he only took this battle because Beasley told him I ain't Solomon was hot. It made no sense to me at all. I ain't Solomon's career, Ol' Red's career. Is it safe to say you'd rather have Iron Solomon's career than Ol' Red's?
Well, no, I'd rather have Ol' Red's career.
Really?
Absolutely.
You think Ole Red had better moments in battle rap than Ian Solomon?
Yes.
I totally disagree with that. I'm going to keep it on. I totally disagree with that, but all right. The Duke Zion line, there goes your sports references you love so much. The Duke Zion line was dope. Obviously, Ole Red is infamous with the basketball bars and sports bars, really, to be honest, because it's not talking.
Goat of sports metaphors. Go ahead.
Okay. The Costa Zoo Juice drop line was dope.
Oh, God. Wasn't
that
dope?
That was dope. That was dope. That was dope.
His Jew flips were top tier A1 lyricism.
I thought Disaster did a better job than Ole Red if you want to go there when they battle. That's just me though. I think Disaster did a way better job when he was attacking the Jew angle compared to Ole Red though. When shit get intense, you would not be a happy camper. When shit get intense, you'd be a happy camper, okay? His vision blurred, brain matter, roll off a Jew tongue like a Yiddish word. I did like that.
Shit. Oh, man.
Mm. You right over there, son? Jesus.
No, I'm not all right. I'm not all right because Obed first, I had to jazz face the entire Obed first round.
The gas face?
Jazz face!
Peters, two black Ninas, a Ray Solomon, King David, Bathsheba. I thought some of this material, like Shotgun Sugar and New Jersey Twerk over there, sidelines. They were gassing up some of them bars, man. Keep it tall, my nigga.
I did not like the way Twerk and...
Where's Jersey, though?
Shotgun Sugar. But see, this is the modern era of battle rap that I don't like. They were just going too ham, and then Shotgun Sugar kept a mean mug ice grill the entire time that Ian Solomon rapped, and it's like the whole time I'm thinking, what kind of hip hop does Ored listen? Does Shotgun Sugar listen to? So that, I don't know. For some reason, that's the only thing I could think of because he wasn't showing no love to Ian Solomon's bars.
The Juju sister line with the Aaron with A-Rod line, that was cool. A lot of sports references. The Rakim pump up the volume line. Rakim, pump up the volume. That was okay, Ored. Just because you throw Rakim. No, my nigga, just throw Rakim, pump up the volume.
Let me say this. Could you explain that bar to the battle rap community who listens to us?
Rakim, man. Pump up the volume. Go ahead, pump up the volume, Rakim.
You need to
pump up the volume. Double entendre. Double entendre with a pump up the volume. Rakim, a la 17 Better Man. Go ahead, man.
But see, you're saying it like it's common knowledge. Why would it be common knowledge from a song from 1987 when these guys have no idea what that reference was? Like, he said Rakim, so they all know that's the name. But then when he said pump up the volume, that was a great Ored bar. There was zero reaction.
That was not that great, man.
You know, Rakim and pump up the volume, microphone fiend. There was zero reaction to it. It was a fantastic bar. The crowd did not get it. The only people
fantastic.
In the room that got that bar, the only people in the room that got that bar was Smack White and Ian Solomon. That's it. Nobody else got that bar.
I got Ored's round. It was solid. What do you think about Ored's first round?
I loved Ored's first round.
You loved it. Round one, Ian Solomon, your voice crack. We don't know if you're a woman or you're a man. Call yourself the Transformer. You sounded like some former Tran. Harped on Ored's choking in battles. Ored, you the worst. Sue Surf the first. Now choking every other battle. Just how New Jersey twerk. You clowns heard me. How's anyone from your own town worthy? If now Jersey is basically staying for ending the round early. That shit was dope as fuck. I butchered it up, but it was dope. Choke more than African neck stretches. That line was all right. The Red Matador line was solid. What does being on Smack with that belt on your arm attain. If you keep getting stuck in the same spot, it's all in vain. That was dope. The old flips were solid. I got Iron Solomon taking round one, man. Talk to me, man.
I've already taken round one. I thought Iron Solomon's first round was dope as fuck. But for me, it comes down to preference. The aggression of Bo Red.
Preference? We have better bars. No fucking preference. We have better bars, nigga. Well, because you said a sports metaphor, you got a rock him line.
This is top tier lyricism. This is top tier lyricism.
No, it's not. Ored's first round was not top.
So
Ored's first round was even his best fucking first. Wasn't his best round.
So it comes down. It comes down to preference. It comes down to preference. Ored with a clear 1-0 so far.
That's not a clear 1-0, first of all.
Clear,
fucking the fuck
clear
out.
1-0. Clear 1-0.
It's not clear. It's
clear 1-0.
There's no way
clear
that 1-0. My nigga. Nah.
Ored up
nope.
1-0. Let's go.
I totally disagree with that.
Ored
round
up
two,
1-0. Let's go.
Iron Solomon up 1-0, man. Round two, Ored said, Iron Solomon, it is Jack Mad times for this battle. I don't know how true that is, and if that's true, why would Iron Solomon have to hit Ored up for battle Mad Times? Of all people to hit up to battle Mad Times and Ored talking about you like you're a stalker? You didn't find that weird? Or he just talking bullshit because of the battle? I don't think he's talking bullshit in the battle. I can't see Iron Solomon really calling Ored's Jack Mad Times for a battle like he's thirsty. Can you really see
I
that?
Absolutely believe Ored. Ored was champion of the year. Ored is in high demand. Battle rappers are not ducking him. Battle rappers are not trying to avoid him. Battle rappers are not looking at Ored like he's Young Cannon, where they're thinking, well, it does nothing for my career if I battle him. Ored gets absolutely top-tier respect. All respect him. I absolutely believe Ored, which is the beginning of a second round body bag. So please finish with Ored's round, sir.
Did you do a survey of all the battle rappers you just talked about that respect him? Did you do some type of survey?
I know it.
Just for meddling, bring the metal in, lift the metal in, aim at your melon, and push your melon for my melanin. That shit was all fire. That wordplay shit that Ored was doing. I was fucking
wordplay,
with it.
Wordplay, crazy, right? That wordplay was crazy.
Cortez ways.
Lyricism in that wordplay,
yeah.
Right? Wasn't that crazy?
It was
Wasn't
dope.
That crazy, three?
I just said it was dope, my nigga.
What you thought about his aggression and the way he was delivering it?
I think Ored is a lot of aggression. I think he's one of them niggas that talks a lot of shit. Like, you know, when he used to be in high school and shit. And throughout the day, in the morning time, when you get to school at 7:30, nigga said it's on and popping at 3 o'clock at the bus stop. And he's talking mad shit throughout the whole day. And when it's time to fight, it don't really be nothing like that. That's me, though. Your fire matches is Nitty and JC. How you acting cocky? You make your moves with battle rappers that I've embodied? That was all right. The fuck Aaron line was solid. I thought Ored was snapping in the second round. I'm going to keep it talking because niggas think I don't fuck Ored. I thought Ored was snapping in the second round. I'm not going to lie.
I think that you have no choice but to give it up because the lyricism was so insane, so dope.
My nigga,
that
even, words
but even
insane.
With the extreme hate of Ored, there was
I don't hate Ored. Not
you could do.
I don't
there
hate Ored.
You could do but acknowledge his lyrical dominance in the second round. So you don't get any credit for acknowledging super fire.
I just said the nigga was snapping in the second round. I just said he was snapping in the second round.
I'm not going to give you credit for acknowledging that.
You're not giving credit.
That's like giving me credit. Yo, if it's 90 degrees outside, you're like, yo, it's hot outside. No shit, Sherlock. It's how great that round was. This second round by Ored is why Ored is a GOAT to me. It's why I got Ored.
Yo, my nigga, you gassing. Now get the fuck off.
It's why I got Ored over everybody you like. Because
not me.
I'll put it against anybody's round in history.
I don't got Ored over B-Dot. I don't got Ored over Geechee. I don't got Ored over Nitty. I don't got Ored over Surf. I don't got Ored over Suge. I don't got OLED over Av. I don't got OLED over JC. And he might have beat some of them niggas, and I still don't have that big catalog. So you might beat a nigga, but that don't mean your catalog. Your catalog. Like, how many classics OLED have, man? How many battles are niggas going back to? How many battles niggas go back to watch OLED? I'm curious to know. Oh, quiet, right? Okay, fine. Keep it moving, of course, keep quiet. We talked about I ain't losing to Mook. These crackers always want the culture. I like this line, though. These crackers always want the culture, but they never want the skin. I thought that was a fire line from OLED. I'm going to keep it tall. The Caribbean, soak the bitch line was cool. Accolades under the kicks, he had Jordan 10. OLED's second round was better than his first round, man. Talk to me.
OLED spit a 5-mic classic first round that will beat 100% of all battle rappers in battle rap.
Well, that shit was 3.5. Four to me.
A 5-4.
OLED spit a 5-mic
second round that will beat 100% of all battle rappers, no matter what they said in their second round. No matter what
they talking about?
That second round of hits.
What are you talking about, fam?
OLED's second round was a classic and will be anybody's second round that you've heard.
OLED's second round was even better than Danny Meyer's second round that we reviewed when he battled Quadra Favorites. What are you talking about? Whatever, man. I am Solomon's second round. Talked about OLED's teeth, a lot of teeth jokes. I ain't talked about piping down OLED's girl. Talked about OLED complaining about time limits in his battles. The Buddha Muck line was cool. Made fun of OLED's translation shit. I didn't like Ian too much in the second round. I'm going to keep it tall, man. I felt like Ian was telling us about his life in New York City a couple times. I got OLED clearly taking round two, man. Talk to me, man.
I agree with you.
All right. Round three, OLED. When OLED talked about... I'll take Iron's fam to the ledge. And when Red said, you from the freestyle era, right? Cool. You going off the top? I did like that. The clip longer than Ryan Lee's. Clip longer than this talk shit. We turned Iron into Iron Sheik. The rabbi line was dope. The symbolized line was okay. Throw a lot of niggas gassing that in the building. Then he goes into his bullshit translation shit. Then he took Torch Madness, which I thought was not that great. Then this show was lifelike. I think he's trying to show Jersey love, I guess. Ripped off Iron's pocket, whatever. I thought OLED's third round was okay, man. Talk to me, man.
I thought OLED's third round was amazing, and I thought it was fantastic. I thought what you did.
Well, listen, it's two totally different things, man.
I thought the break, and you just disservice, and you're not telling everybody what we saw. Based on what you just said, you would have thought that OLED wasn't in Ian Solomon's face being extremely aggressive.
That's what he always
does. You wouldn't have known that he pushed Ian Solomon. When Ian Solomon was trying to step up to him to be tough when he pocket checked him, he shot.
That doesn't mean nothing to the battle. That has nothing to do with the bars.
I'm highlighting how aggressive OLED was, and after OLED pushed him,
he didn't mean to do that. That was accidentally. OLED, that was accidentally, nigga. You think OLED purposely meant to do that? No, that was inadvertently, man.
After OLED shoved him, he kept reciting his bar. He never stopped reciting, so it built tension in the battle, and I liked that tension by OLED where he was paying homage to Twerk, paying homage to Shotgun Shug, and verbally
it wasn't all that great.
Aggressive, and his Charger Ryan Leaf line with fire. A football
it was okay.
Want to acknowledge,
even though niggas told me what Mitty, even though niggas say what Mitty said that before. Even though niggas say 10-4, even though niggas say 10-4 stolen ball that Rum Nitty took that, but that's neither here nor there. Round three, I ain't really had to change his pants. We have an extra pair of pants or jacket, whatever shit ripped off. I don't know, man. The surf angle was dope. Although Ian Solomon came out swinging in the third round, man. The verb angle was dope. I just felt Iron was calling out other rappers, other battle rappers, instead of sticking to old Red. I'm very big on, yeah, you can take time to address one nigga here and there, but you address the other niggas. But then when he got back into old Red, the top of the iceberg line was cool. The Mount Rushmore talk was fire. Known Together with No Me, I did like that. The subject matter talk line was fire. Even old Red was giving it up to fucking Iron Solomon in this battle. I got Iron Solomon 2-1, man.
Iron Solomon's third was great, but he got 30 by old Red.
No, come on. Knock the fuck off.
So make your point.
Yo, my nigga, don't
mine.
Come on the show just doing bullshit,
make
my
your
nigga.
Point and I'll make
this
mine.
Is no, my nigga.
Make
don't
your,
say you don't get no
point
fucking point for
and
me.
I'll make mine.
What point?
Make your point. Make your point about the battle, and I'll make mine.
Round one, I thought Iron Solomon got that fucking clear. Round two, I think O-Red got that fucking clear, and I edged fucking Iron Solomon in round three. I didn't think O-Red said nothing crazy in that third round. Only round that's you could talk about is that second round. I don't know how you gave O-Red that first round. I think you're full of shit. I think you're reaching because you like O-Red and you want some bullshit. I'm being real.
Now, Iron Solomon was great with his lyricism and his wordplay in every round, and he got 30.
So, wait a minute. So, you're big on lyricism, but you get O-Red a 30? Come
yeah,
on, my nigga. That's not biased.
Because
O-Red,
you know
what I mean, niggas think we just doing some bullshit up there. Come
O-Red,
on, son.
O-Red was equally as lyrical with, to me, better haymakers, with
what
better punchlines, better metaphors. You read them out already. You read them
in all
out.
Three rounds?
Let me tell you something else. And once again, anytime people do comic book references, you never highlight them because you clearly don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
the
I don't
Venom
give a fuck about you comic book nerds.
The Venom,
you a Mickey Fack,
Venom,
you comic
you
book nerds.
Mickey Fack, everybody. Well, it's like the whole goddamn
not everybody.
Chilla Jones, Mickey Fax, like everybody has a comic book bar. And you constantly never acknowledge them because you don't know what they're talking about. There was a Venom Carnage bar that was so fire. But because you don't read comic books, you had no idea. Because you're just thinking, you're like, oh, they're just rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like so much shit go over your head that you do a disservice.
You know what, nigga? If I saw your comic books right now, I'll burn them shits.
Over it, nigga. We will be fighting for the rest of that life.
Fight, I'll burn them
shit,
my nigga.
You fuck with my comic collection. I'm
you and Mickey Fax,
nigga.
I'll burn
I'm
both y'all niggas'
fight.
Box of comic books.
Yo,
keep it a stack. You want to tell a You want to tell a comic boy the conventions you went to, or you want to talk about that?
I'm a comic book nerd. I love comic books. I live with comic books. I've been collecting comic books all my life.
Tell the niggas how many. I seen pictures, y'all. So there's no bullshit. The little comic boys, the comic book conventions.
I am a comic book historian the same way I'm a hip hop historian. I'm in numerous Facebook comic book groups. Numerous. Numerous. Where we talk about comic books. Because I am a comic book nerd.
Wait a minute. They got a Facebook comic book group?
They have a lot. Facebook has millions of groups for everything you can think of.
Wait. Well, hold on. What do you guys actually talk about in this group? I'm just curious to know. What's usually the conversation in these comic book Facebook groups?
It's the same thing. You talk about comic books the same way you talk about hip-hop. Your favorite your favorite comics, your favorite
But you're
artists,
reading a comic book, so
what
can you really talk about while reading a comic
it's
book?
It's like talking
talk
about,
a book.
It's like talking about a book. If you've read
right,
a book,
said,
and you like
when
it a
Spider-Man
lot,
beat up,
the book.
Right.
Telling you. So back to the thing. O-Red with a clear 30. This is a great battle. Now let me say
it was not a great battle.
Iron Solomon, because people are getting me confused. I thought Iron Solomon should have been champion of the year over Geechee Gotti. I also think
crazy.
Iron Solomon has better smack volume battles.
My nigga, how could you give Iron Solomon champion of the year? You said he got 30 by O-Red and this battle was 2018, nigga. That don't even fucking sense.
But this was a great.
But nothing,
here's the problem. This battle didn't drop in 2018.
I'm only talking about the Iron Solomon battles I saw.
Only but I
want to
hear a big butt and a smile, nigga. BBD, nigga.
No,
what are you talking about?
We did not see this battle was not released. I'm gonna just be clear. Battles do not count until they get on YouTube. That's when everybody sees them. That's when everybody sees them. This Iron Solomon battle was a great battle. Iron Solomon
battle.
Iron Solomon lyrically was great. Once again, this is one of my favorite battles of 2019.
Oh,
with I will tell you this, I
well,
like 18. This battle way more than T-Top DC Gotti. Just like I like Quantum Physics.
You're bugging.
Just like I liked Quantum Physics and Danny Myers better than T-Top Geechee Gotti.
No,
I will be
I like
very
A-1,
clear.
I like A-1 and Book Collector more than this battle. How about that?
Let me be very
clear. I like A-1 and Book Collector more than this battle. How about that?
Let me be very clear. Top-notch lyricism always beats street feel to me. Always. And this was a battle of pens, and it was a style clash. It was always lyricism with
mixed three and a half mic battle, my nigga. Three and a half mic battle.
This was a strong mic battle by far. I enjoyed this battle better than T-Top Geechee by far. By far.
Not me. Mm-mm. All right, man. That's what it is, man. Iron Solomon, Old Red. I got Iron Solomon 2-1. This nigga overhead had Old Red 3-0, man. Shocker, right? Appreciation time, man. Yes, my niggas. We're back on appreciation. I say BET Rap City and Yo MTV Raps. You say what, Marchie?
One of the most important parts of my hip-hop life is BET Rap City. You know, I remember, and what I love about it is when I think about the Lost Boys, the host at the time was Big Les. And I went to Southside Jamaica, Queens, and she interviewed them. And that shit meant everything because I knew nothing about them.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? You got to understand, man, there's no YouTube, there's no internet, there's nothing. The only way we can know anything about the lives of rappers and see them and see their hood is on BET. Like,
and let's be real, my nigga. A lot of niggas didn't have cable back then. So if you didn't have cable, boy, you was out of gas.
Yo, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but cable did not come to my block in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn until 1994.
Wow.
Till 1994. I used to have to go to Harlem or I used to have to go to Lower Manhattan where my grandparents lived to watch cable. And the first thing I did when I went over there was either watch Yo MTV Raps or BET Rap City, especially on Saturdays. The countdown for BET Top 10 might be the most important, some of the most important part of hip hop ever. That Top 10 countdown.
And let's be real,
because
we were taping them shits too. That's clear.
Not only were we taping them, but
with no commercials.
It meant everything. The video. Popular song meant everything.
Yes.
Because it was like, oh, so this is how we dressing now? This is the whips, these are the chains, these are the hats. Like, it brought us into the lives of the rappers. And the only way you'd know it is if you watched BET.
Let's be clear, though. We say Rap City, but we watch Yo MTV Raps first. That popped off first before Rap City.
Yo MTV Raps popped off in the late 80s with Fab Five Freddy, who was a hip-hop pioneer.
Shout out to Fab Five Freddy. That's a fact.
One of the all-time great hip-hop pioneers. I like to claim myself a hip-hop historian. If I ever had a conversation with Fab Five Freddy, I would be in awe. I would be in awe of what he could tell me. Because to me, he can tell me everything. Guys like Fab Five Freddy, Russell Simmons, these guys can talk to you about hip hop in a way that will it'll blow your mind. The stuff
LL, a lot of niggas, man.
So I love LL Run. You know, the fact that Run used to be, what's his name's DJ? What's my man? Basketball, who did a basketball song? The first hip hop superstar dude. Man, what's his name? I'm playing Ooh. Myself right now, but I'm having a brain freeze right now. But
we'll
one was a part of hip hop history. But to UMTV Raps, UMTV Raps was when I first saw UMTV Raps, it was, I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That's a fact. Let's be real.
One everything on MTV wasn't our cup of tea.
Let's just be clear.
My favorite episode. My favorite episode that's going to always resonate with me was when Fab Five Freddy's interviewed Slick Rick, and they went shopping. And Slick Rick was buying Bally's, and Slick Rick had all his jewels on, and they went shopping together. And I thought it was the greatest thing I had ever seen. Because the only thing I'd known about Slick Rick was his songs. You know?
Yeah.
And
I'm not going to lie. My shit was NWA, though, man. When it was riding with NWA and shit. Because remember now, we live in New York. So to see NWA and Fab Five riding around him, that in Wu-Tang Clan, I got to be clear, too, man. Fab Five Freddy, for real, man. That nigga did a lot for the culture, man. When he wrote on NW and Wu-Tang Clan, that always, those memories right there, those events always live with me and shit.
Another thing about UMTV Raps, which meant everything to me, was Ed Love and Dr. Dre. When Ed Love and Dr. Dre, and this was like, their show was in the afternoon. So if I was ever home, and this is why you had to always VCR it, a videotape, because sometimes you'd be at school.
Yep.
You couldn't get home in time to see.
You gotta set your shit up.
Yep. The one thing that was so great about this show is they had a studio. So they'd have the rappers. So they play video, but then they'd have the rappers come in to perform live.
Yes,
man.
Dang,
it does not get greater than that. Yo, it does not get any better than that.
Word.
And this was the era where everybody who came there wanted to rap. I know, I'm telling you guys, this era where your rap star is big and he's popular and he just lip syncs his songs, you did not go on your MTV Raps without performing your song or freestyling. It was that simple. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things, just talking about it, that stood out to me is when they had Grand Poobah perform What's the 411 and Mary J.
Blige.
Rocking
Cross Colors. Nigga, I remember that shit vividly. Mary was rocking the Cross Colors. Nigga, I remember that shit.
Yo, my nigga, I'll tell you right now. I was going to BMCC, Borough Manhattan Community College at the time, and I was cross colored heavy.
Of course. You have to have cross colors.
There was an era in hip hop where, man, if you did not have cross colors on, you couldn't even go outside.
And what about the suspenders era? With the suspenders, if we took one suspenders off, that era too.
Absolutely. But just to see, just for you to know how hip hop Mary J. Blige was, like Mary J. Blige is hip hop, straight up. And that's a moment that stands out to me. The moment, and you know how I feel about Digable Planets, when they first performed Cool like that, I was like, holy shit, look at this group. This is strange. And they performed Cool like that for the first time. And that shit was crazy.
When Nas, Raekwon, and Mobb Deep, for me to see that mess, like, like you remember when they tell you next episode or next show they're going to have such and such, or when they're doing a show, they're going to be like, tonight we got Nas, Raekwon, and Mobb Deep going through. Like, when you heard that from Ed Love and Dr. Dre, that shit, like, meant something to me, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, ill niggas coming on the show, you know what I'm saying? And obviously the last episode of UMTV Raps with Rakim and KRS-One when they set the freestyle off, and I gotta say, man, I might have to give it to KRS-One over Rakim on the air, son, when they was rhyming though. I don't know, is it tie? It's close, but I think you know what it is. Rakim was off the dome. Chris was off the dome. KRS was actually freestyling. Red Man, Method Man, Special Ed. That shit was dope, man. Continue though. That shit was on fire, man.
That episode is a classic episode. See, we didn't even appreciate it. When it was going off, I wasn't even all sad because hip-hop was, like, everywhere. This one started to be everywhere.
You had the box where you could get your hip hop from. You had
shout out to Arsenio Hall too, man. Show love to hip hop also, but go ahead.
Arsenio Hall played a major role in hip hop being accepted in the mainstream. Great memory. So when you brought up, NWA on your MTV Raps, I'm gonna have to salute another show that meant everything to me in the early 90s. It was a show called Pump It Up with Sister Dee Barnes. And when she had NWA out there, I really felt it. Because she lived out there. So she was really out there.
With this is
all
a Cali chick, yeah.
With you, with all, and I was like, yo, Pump It Up. Pump It Up came on at 1 a.m. in the morning. So it meant everything to stay up and wait till Channel 5 came on and watch this show and anything they showed. And now let me get back to your MTV Rap. You know, Busta Rhymes has been here for a long time, man. Busta Rhymes has some incredible moments when you're on TV Raps, rapping live with Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. You know? Young Busta and his energy is second.
Yeah, it's
none.
Different.
And
it was
Busta,
different.
And
it was
Busta
different.
Always had the wild hats,
clothes,
the crazy outfits. And he, yo, I mean, Busta Rhymes is a living legend, man. We don't talk about him like that, but my God, when I think about looking at Ralph McDaniel's Video Music Box,
he's been
era,
in for 89. When Top Story and all that came, I can't see the PTA. 89, right?
No, that's in the 90s. That came out. There was a group in the late 80s.
That must have been 1990, then, my nigga. That must have been 1990. I could have swore KC the PTA 90, came out 89.
91. Sob Story, KC the PTA. But it was just dope seeing these young brothers. And let me be clear. These guys were the age of Little Yachty is right now. When you guys are like, oh, these guys are so young, 21 Savage, all these guys. 21 Savage, 24. That was considered old. Everybody was talking about they were like 22. They was in their early 20s doing all this historical, great hip-hop shit. And BET with their Top 10 Countdown. Now, let me ask you this with the BET Countdown. There would be some songs that, like, okay, do you remember when Ain't Number the G thing came out and it was like number one forever? Do you think that there was politics and how a song could just stay number one for like ever?
Yes.
It just stayed number one.
Now,
like,
looking
the whole
back, at the time when I'm thinking that, but it's when I was old men now, old 40 year old niggas and shit, I think it's politics. Yeah.
But we didn't know back then. But here's the thing.
We didn't care. But we knew. But let's be real. I think Rap City did a better version. And let's be real. There's some videos that Rap City would play that Yomsi Raps would not play, my nigga. That's a fact.
The plenty. BET was for black people.
Yes.
They had a much better dedication to hip hop than MTV by far. MTV dedicated shows to hip hop, and then you rarely ever saw hip hop again, unless it was like something like Naughty by Nature or CNC Music Factory. Like, it had to be a hip hop song that was like the number one song in America for it to get played outside of your MTV Raps. But on BET, man, they played all. Rap City was great because they just played everything hip hop.
Yeah,
like, yo, you know Rap City. I remember when they went to Ohio and was like, put me on the Bone Thugs and Harmony. Like, I didn't know nothing about what was going on over there. And they went out there, and I was like, holy shit, this is what's going on out there. You know what I mean? So, Rap City. So, let me give you another athlete of Rap City that you loved a lot. When Big Tigger had the basement, and he used to have everybody freestyle. I know you have your memories, because you actually tweet them out on your Twitter timeline, some of your favorite memories. So,
but let me ask you this. Who you trust more in hip hop? Big Tigger or my man Joe Clear?
Big Tigger.
Okay, I agree. Because why? Because are you saying that because Tigger actually rapped and shit?
I'm saying that, yes. Because Tigger, not only does he rap,
Tigger actually took the rappers of the moment in the era. They come in there with either their pre-bittens or their freestyles, and then there were times that he would freestyle and I'll rhyme them. Like, I would
that's
like, wow,
a fact.
Is...
yeah,
and that was
a fact.
And that was weird to see. Let's be clear, Tigger was nice. Tigger would go off the top. Tigger is
all the time.
True hip-hop head. There's no doubt about it. Because
so, Tigger and Lover then.
Ed Lover and Tigger love it the same. Ed Lover actually impacted me more than Tigger because Ed Lover did radio and he did MTV. And Ed Lover used to have passionate hip hop debates on his show. So, you know, when we say hip hop media is dead, right? And you get DJ Envy and rappers come up to talk to DJ Envy. When rappers came up to talk to Ed Lover, man, he wasn't shy that he was a fan of theirs. He loved their music.
I think rappers respected Ed Lover more than Tigger, though.
For whatever the reason, I will agree to that, but I think it was because of Ed Lover had more OG status over him, and he was just before Tigger. Because
you
think
remember when Ghostface
knew him before Tigger.
When Ghostface went to Rap City, man, that shit was always weird to me. I thought, is it stage or is it not stage? Is Ghostface? He looked like he wanted to slap Earth, Wind, and Fire out of Tigger on the episode, though, man. But Tigger will always have it because of the freestyles, man. The Cam, the Dipset freestyle was legendary with Cam calling money. Eminem went up there, Mad Time, ripped that shit. G-Unit, Luda. I remember Teflon, a little fame was up on there. Like, even though some niggas were spitting written bars that they would spit on the album.
There's nothing wrong with spitting written bars.
I hate that shit. I hate that. I fucking hate that shit. I don't like that shit.
Give me your favorite Jay-Z moment.
On Rap City?
Yeah.
Because Jay killed his verse on Rap City.
What?
Nobody's lying. Somebody better put, what he said, somebody better put somebody's body on somebody's iron. Sometimes soon on somebody lying. I ain't fucking that shit, get stuck in. I ain't rapping for nothing, cousin. Ah, nigga, oh, kill that shit. The fuck you talking about, boy? He spit a written verse at first, and then he went into the second shit. He ripped that shit, nigga.
So what
I'm
fucking about? His whole shit was
about
written.
J. Over, nigga. Not the second one,
no.
We never heard it, though.
I have no problems. Here's the thing.
Nigga, we never heard
the
second one before, so shut the fuck up. We never heard the second one before,
but it was written, though. Just because you never heard it doesn't mean it wasn't written.
It was written, but we never heard it, Nas. It was written,
Nas,
but we never heard it before. So.
I agree.
All right, boom.
I agree. I agree. But the point I'm making is that era of hip-hop, just think about today's stars. Does anybody ask when they bring Travis Scott up to a radio station and say, yo, come into the booth and let's rhyme? Yo, Migos, we in the booth, let's rhyme? Nobody does that no more. They treat today's rap superstars like you're walking on eggshells. In this era we're talking about, you wanted to rap. Your goal in life was to get on national television and rap. This era, the goal is to not rap, look rich, and fuck everything else.
I remember also on Rap City when Big Les had Pun. It was Pun, Prodigy, and had him Pun and Mobb Deep. They was in front of Fat Joe's clothing store at FJ. Or whatever he had that no one cared about except niggas from the Bronx. But whatever. When Foxy was on Rap City, I was told.
Let me tell you this. I love Big Les. I love Big Les. You know, you think of Big Les and then you think of somebody like Angela Yee. Who did you feel had more of a connection to hip hop? Or was Big Les acting like, how big is your dick? I heard you fuck a lot of girls. You wasn't getting that.
Don't sleep with Angela Yee, man. She ran with the wool, man. I'm not going to front on Angela Yee, though, son. Now, for nothing, I trust Angela Yee's judgment of hip-hop more than Envy and fucking Charlamagne. Well, maybe not more than Envy, just Envy be acting like he caught amnesia, and he forgets that he was in videos with Joe Budden, like, wait a minute and all that, but whatever. But I'm not going to front on Angela Yee. She ain't Scotty Bean.
Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club brings nothing to hip hop discussions. Big Les on Rap City made us learn about
Arrow.
So hip hop is different.
So rapping doesn't matter anymore. We're in the ever with the art of rapping.
You tell me, does
matter.
It? To me, it does, and to you, it does. But to the 85 is it?
I don't
does,
know,
because so
you're saying we're in a different era. So in this different era, you, people no longer rap? Well, then again, you do like the song, J. Cole's new song, so this is the era you love.
What the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does that mean, nigga? I'm lost. What does that mean?
This is the era. You love this era. This era of J. Cole. You love the J. Cole era of hip-hop.
I don't know what that means, the J. Cole era of hip-hop. I don't know what that means. Is that supposed to be some sarcastic remark that Cole
it's
is whack? I like the Kendrick era, too.
It's self.
Weren't you the same guy running around there calling yourself 10 summers, though? Praising Drake?
Okay. But BET, Rap City, and BET. So what basically happened was YouTube killed all of that because you no longer need it. I mean, when YouTube came out, do you know I used to go through periods where I would just put all those rap videos I used to see on Rap City one time and I never saw them again? Like, I never saw the video Light as a Rock, and I always wanted to see that video, and I found it. Or there'd be a video. A Kid and Play had a video called Getting Funky. Man, that video was so dope, but I saw it like one time. And to be able to rewatch these videos that you only saw like once or twice in your life, and that's what YouTube did. So it really made you really never needed a hip hop video show anymore. You know what I'm saying? But Rap City,
being able to tape Bring the Pain, because I remember seeing Bring the Pain the first time on UNTV Raps. It was a Friday night. I'll never forget that shit. When That Man came out. Oh, days, man. Miss those days. For real, man. What show, man, wants you, though? What about the cow?
Which one? Between UMTV Raps and BET?
Yeah.
They both meant the same to me. They both meant the same to me. Because I watched both of them any chance I got. I had to watch both of them.
What about Ralph McDaniels? Should we give props to Ralph McDaniels also? He played a part in our culture also, nigga.
Ralph McDaniels played a major, major role. Ralph McDaniels had me fixing my antenna to get Channel 31, and I never got it clear. And it meant everything for me to just try to get the right picture, just for it to come out blurry, staticky, and, oh, man, watching the Ralph McDaniels video was it was like getting high. It was like getting high.
And
because
I got to salute New York Hot Tracks also. Got to salute New York Hot Tracks. I have to. That's my era, man.
Hot Tracks played Michael Jackson videos. Hot Tracks and Solid Gold were the only two places I saw Michael Jackson videos before MTV. New York Hot Tracks, Friday nights, meant everything. And Solid Gold used to play Michael Jackson.
Solid
videos.
Gold, Dionne Warwick. Okay.
Yeah.
Solid Gold.
Yeah. You remember Solid Gold, right?
Of course, Dionne Warwick, man.
Yeah. But that's taking it too far back. A lot of our listeners were not born to even know what we're talking about.
What about that show, Dance Fever? Remember Dance Fever?
Love that show, too. Remember, I'm born
I don't
in
know if I loved
forever,
it.
Man.
I loved it.
Well, hip hop was birthed from disco.
I'm not saying it wasn't. That's
rapped over. Those are the beats we rapped over. So there's no way I can ever diss disco music.
What about Eminem on Rap City? Do you remember watching Eminem on Rap City for the first time?
Yes. So it was either Rap City. Was it Rap City when they had the GZA, when they had the RZA and Wyclef? And they were all talking about Eminem, what they think about Eminem. It was one of those shows. It was either Rap City or UMTV. No, matter of fact, it was Rap City because UMTV Rap was born. So in Rap City, they had like this round table, and they all asked them what they think about Eminem. And this was a real important thing because all the top hip-hop groups or MCs at the time gave Eminem the biggest cosign of all time. They were like, yo, he's dope, he's lyrical, he's ill. And that meant to somebody like Eminem, to see the top rappers give him props on Rap City, man,
that would be dope.
You know what I'm saying? So Rap City, man, I mean, It was – I never stopped watching Rap City. I never stopped watching Rap City until Rap until it went
I'll say – when – what's the light-skinned nigga, Lynx, when he came on the scene?
What choice did we have? Because we wanted to see the videos. Like, I didn't stop watching it because I wanted – because at the end of the day, I wanted to see the videos. So I never stopped.
Well, I don't even know how to, I don't even know how to watch videos and hip hop.
You know what's crazy? When Joe Clay used to rap for the rappers and they had to fake like they liked his rap,
that was cringy.
Yeah, that was cringy.
That was not funny. That was cringy.
And he would try to get deep. Like he was, I think he was rhyming one of the Wooten dudes. He was trying to get like real deep with them on some Killer Priest shit, and they was trying to act like, But the thing about it is, it's like, yo, dude, we're here for us. Why are you rapping? Like, you can see, and he couldn't wait to get his balls off. You know what I'm saying? You remember that shit? Joe Clay used to spit, brother?
He wasn't that nice, though, my nigga. Come on. Come on. I love it.
Yo,
I love it with a
nice.
What about T-Money? Are we saluting T-Money? We're not saluting T-Money?
Love my man T-Money, man. T-Money, man. I love it, Dr. Dre. That was my guy, man. I thought he was hilarious.
Anton One. MC Lyte's old dude.
Todd One was a joke. Period. He was a joke. He was a joke. They tried to push him and give him his own show, and he
The Fade to Black joint, right?
Oh, my God. He flopped big time.
It wasn't that bad, though. The Fade to Black wasn't that bad, though, man.
Yo, they gave Todd One to Will Smith, right?
And he did an interview. And you could see him reading the notes because every time. So Will Smith said, hey, you're pretty good at this, aren't you?
Like, he was so unprepared and just didn't know what he was doing that, you know. But, yo, my man T-Money, that was my guy, man. I love that. You know, they was funny. Yo, I love T-Money and Dr. J. That was a funny, like, they loved hip-hop. And I just, I like that shit.
It's a weirdo shit sometimes. Dressing up like weirdo sometimes. It was like
Well, you know, when you're a nerd guy like me, you didn't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, you wasn't taking street stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Nah, son, I'm sorry. When I'm rocking the African, not the African, the black college sweaters and all that, like Guru and all that, I used to love them shits. When you talk about the Virginia, the black colleges, man, the sweaters and shit, Morehouse College sweaters with the Reebok black tops. You don't know about that, man. Act like you don't know about that shit. What the fuck is you talking about, man? That's what it is, man. BET, Rap City Appreciation, man. We'll do another one. We got time, man. A couple of minutes. You want to do another one?
Go ahead, brother.
Let's take it
to. Go ahead, brother.
Listen, I'm going there. Let's take it here, man. A gentleman that we watched play football. And now he is an analyst on First Take with Skip Bayless, my guy. I say Shannon Sharp. With Shannon Sharp. You say what, my guy?
LeBron James' number one fan on earth. Shannon Sharp.
Skip.
Shannon
Skip.
Sharp. LeShannon Sharp, let me tell you guys. Now, I remember when Shannon Sharp used to be on CBS because he took Deion Sanders' place when Deion Sanders decided to go back to play for the Baltimore Ravens. So they needed someone to fill in the slot with Donald Trump, MAGA supporter, Boomer Esiason, and Dan Marino. So they brought in Shannon Sharp. And I like Deion so much and what Deion brought to that show that I was kind of hating on Sharp being. I was like, what's Sharp doing, man? Like, why he here? I like Deion. So I really stopped fucking with that show when it was covering football. But he was doing the textbook professional style. I didn't know Shannon Sharp was like this or had this kind of personality until Skip unleashed him. The Shannon Sharp that you see now is not the Shannon Sharp who was with Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I totally agree with that. Because
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know that Shannon was really the big homie who could talk that talk for real. Real, give you real barbershop talk. Real, like you never saw, like analysts or people who give opinions always try to never show their true feelings or how they felt about an athlete. They always try to be professional, even though they had favoritism. Shannon took that shit, threw that shit right out the window. He took it and threw it straight out the window, where a guy like Max Kellerman will say, LeBron is by far the best player in the NBA, and, you know, and make it sound acceptable. We'll just talk about Bron like any of us to talk about our favorite athlete. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he brought, I think Shannon Sharpe brings being proud to be black. He calls out the Uncle Toms and the Coons. He calls out the white racist Trump-supporting owners in all sports. He takes more of a definitive stance on race in sports than Stephen A. Smith ever would.
Let's go there.
You think so, though?
Do I think he takes a bigger stance for African Americans than Jason Whitlock?
No, not over Whitlock, over Stephen A.
Do I think he takes a more definitive stance on race than Stephen A. Smith? Absolutely. It got to the point where even Stephen A. Smith would go on for a take and say, first of all, I want to salute my man Shannon Sharpe because he did this great take down. This is when they were talking about Dez Bryant, when Dez Bryant said some real crazy stuff. And Shannon Sharpe called him out. He's like, yo, you saying this stuff because you want white people to like you. You think this is going to make white America accept you more. Like, he really worked it. Stephen A. Smith is somebody who will say, when Mark Cuban said, you know, when I see black people with hoodies, I want to cross the street. And then Stephen A. Smith proudly went up there and said, I support Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is right. And I don't give a damn what the black community think. Cooned so hard. And Scoop was so embarrassed that he had to invite Michael Eric Dyson on the show just to school Stephen Smith. Because, you know, he didn't know how to school Stephen Smith on blackness. But I think one thing Skip did not want, Skip don't want his opposing analyst to talk, to speak with a white point of view. Like, he wants you to be and talk your shit while he
right.
So him allowing O'Shea Sharpe to be his best self, to me, is great. And I will tell you this, Undisputed prefer Undisputed over First Take any day.
I totally agree with that. And it's because of Shannon Sharpe. Now, let's go ahead. Obviously, you and I know Shannon from his NFL years when he played with the Broncos with John Elway. I believe what he had two rings with Elway. Then he got one with Baltimore the year the Ravens won. Shannon obviously is a Hall of Famer. You think of Tony Gonzalez. You think of this guy. A lot of great tight ends and all that in his career and all that. Even though his brother was better than him, though. Sterling Sharpe was better than him. A lot of our young listeners who probably fuck with us probably don't know too much about his brother, but before Shannon, you know, before Shannon Sharpe, it was Sterling Sharpe.
Sterling Sharpe.
When he played with Brett Favre.
Sterling Sharpe was the original Odell Beckham Antonio Brown. When I say this, I mean,
I agree with that.
He was the original wide receiver who would throw tantrum and bark on everybody if you did not get him the ball. He was tough. He was before T.O.
Why receiver doesn't do that, my nigga? Every wide receiver does that.
Not like Sterling Sharpe was doing this. I never saw anybody. I didn't see Art Monk and Jerry Rice doing this. I didn't see John Taylor doing this. I didn't see Tony Hill. I didn't see Duke Johnson.
But T.O. Chad Johnson.
I didn't see Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker. I didn't see Altoon. I didn't see Wesley Walker. I was like every fucking wide receiver in the 80s. I never saw
that. Was different, though, my G.
Like Shannon Sharpe. Like Sterling Sharpe. Sterling Sharpe used to have a quarterback named the Magic Man, Don Majkowski.
Don Majkowski, yes.
Before Brett Favre.
that he used to bark on the Magic Man if he didn't get the ball. And when Brett Favre came on as a rookie, and Brett Favre did not throw him the ball, he used to go ape shit. So, and Steph was second to Rice. That's how good he was.
Right.
He was second to Jerry Rice. He was better than the
That's a fact.
So, all I'm doing is just saying, when you see Antonio Brown, all these guys, and y'all acting like, oh, the diva wide receiver, man, listen, Sterling Sharp set that shit off. Let's be clear.
Right, in my opinion.
I know y'all don't hear me do football talk, but you don't want to because I'm a football guy.
One thing I respect about Shannon also is his love and admiration that he has for his grandmother. Like, he's always quoting his grandparents and shit, man. Like, and I always, for some reason, I love that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Every time Shannon Sharp talks about anything, he goes, Skip. My grandmama used to say, Skip. My granddad used to say, Skip. And Skip would say,
his stories are hilarious.
Your granddad has to say for everything, right? Shannon got a quotable for his grandparents for everything.
Yeah, and then she'd be on point, though.
You know when Shannon gets serious when he starts talking about race? I love it, man, because he says shit that I never see a black analyst say. And I'm giving Skip props on this because
Skip. You have to give Skip props, yes, to let him get his bars off. Yeah.
Him, I do not want you to sugarcoat. I want you to talk how you want to talk. So anytime when the Colin Kaepernick shit was going on and Ray Lewis was out there sounding crazy, him and Shannon got into beef where they were not.
Yeah, that was real. That was real.
No, you could tell that was real. Shannon. Yeah, because Shannon was not going to let, you know, Ray Lewis get up there and just talk the company line nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Miami led the charge on analysts speaking.
Breaking up, nigga.
Doing it the way Shannon was doing it. And then Shannon was, and mind you, because the show comes on every day, Shannon was talking like this every day. So then when the weekend football shows come out, then guys like Randy Moss put your take on it. And because Shannon had already set it up that you could be black and really talk how you feel, everybody else would be judged like, you hear what he said? You hear what he said? No.
Right.
Ex-athlete wanted to be that black athlete sounding crazy. Stephen A. Smith was sounding crazy with Kaepernick.
And I want to keep it real. I think Shannon respects Skip more than Stephen A. respected Skip.
Agreed.
Just on respect factor.
But Shannon respects Skip because Skip gave him this. Like Skip. This wasn't like, let's interview different people to see who works well with me. He wanted Sharp. Sharp was the one he wanted. And he let Sharp be. And his whole thing with Sharp, you got to be who you want. There is no restraints on what we
do. Do we give Skip enough props, though, as a white broadcaster? Because this pigmentation that people follow him, I think he's just an old white man that
I don't think any of us front on him. I don't think any of us front on him. Now, when I say this, First Take is still the more seen show because it's on more stations. Stephen A. Smith is just, he might be the most popular everyday analyst in America.
ESPN? Yes, that's a fact.
I mean, this is a quick sidebar.
That nigga does boxing. He does, like,
popular. Stephen A. Smith is so popular that you know he doesn't know shit about boxing.
Or baseball.
The boxing community, and he knows even less about baseball. Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Max kills him in baseball talk. Skip used to kill him in baseball talk. Yo, and they used to, like, kill him. But he knows his limitations. He knows what he doesn't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, back to Shannon. I love watching Undisputed over First Take, man. Like,
all day, my nigga.
That's
a must.
Live. And then I catch the highlights. And it has to be, like, I have to like the topic. So I just want to say, okay, let me see what Max Kellerman's take is, what Stephen Smith's take is. But, and let me tell you something. There's nothing more fun than listening to Shannon Sharp talk about LeBron James with anybody. It don't matter if
it's hilarious. It is hilarious.
It don't matter. It's just hilarious. Cause the way he looks at LeBron is like, I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed of his LeBron pajamas, his goat mask. Nothing. You know, so.
And pause. That nigga's still in shape, man. Pause. That nigga's still in fucking shape. That nigga's like 50 years old. That nigga's still in goddamn shape, man. That shit's crazy.
What do
you
think about his black and mild and his yak?
He's not doing none of them shits, my nigga. Come on. He ain't smoking them shits. Probably light drink here and there. But I don't think he's taking, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's sipping on black and mild of that as an old head. No, I don't think he's doing that, though. But I really appreciate the contributions that he does, that he brings to that show and all that, though, man. I ain't gonna front. And he's one of the few dudes that came from the football background that talks basketball that I could respect a little bit. You know, some athletes are, you know what I'm saying?
Come on. It's not a little bit. It's not a little bit. I actually wanted his Shannon Sharpe basketball. I look
more than football?
Hearing Shannon Sharpe. Well, I'm not into football like that. Basketball is my first love.
I'm into football, man.
Basketball is my first love. I actually rather hear Shannon Sharpe talk about basketball because he sounds, to me, he knows basketball. I'll give you a perfect example. The show before him has Chris Carter. Chris Carter is a fucking know-it-all. Chris Carter's a fucking know-it-all. Thinks he knows everything.
I like CC, man. Leave CC alone,
Chris
man.
Carter,
cool, man.
Chris Carter, you sound like a fucking fool when you talk basketball.
No, he doesn't,
oh,
man.
My brother played basketball. Oh, my brother played basketball.
Yes,
oh,
his brother played basketball. Chris Carter played basketball in high school, man.
Shit about basketball.
That's not true, son. That's not true. You don't do CC like that. You know basketball, man.
You trust DC, and Randy Moss is better than you, nigga.
And I trust Chris Carter's commentary on basketball way more than I hear Randy Moss talk basketball. That's a fact.
And Randy Moss is a better basketball player than Chris Carter.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's
I
a
know.
Fact.
Yeah, but Shannon, yo, my dude, Shannon. Let's be real, man. The fact that we go – okay, here's what I ask you. Why do we want to see Shannon and Skip go back and forth before
– There you go.
Why do you feel me and you would rather see Shannon and Skip before Max and Stephen A?
I just feel there's a better chemistry between Skip and Shannon. And maybe it's that barbershop feel where ESPN seems more corporate, even though both – companies talk about the same fucking thing. Cowboys, LeBron, is the same fucking shit. You know what I mean? But I think for me, that's why I watch it, though. Because of Shannon. And I like Skip too a lot, too, man. I fuck with Skip heavy, man. I like Skip more than
Max
Kellerman.
No, but I like Max Kellerman. I like Max Kellerman. You don't like Max Kellerman?
I like Max Kellerman because he's a hip-hop dude. Like, he's more hip-hop than Stephen A. Smith by far. Anybody want to dispute
he's
that?
He's more hip hop than anybody on television. He's more hip hop than anybody
on
television.
Yes, I knew that.
Who does sport?
Shannon does it good too, though. He'll throw in some Freddie Wap shit, or he throws some Drake. Like, he'll throw some more pop culture shit more than Max Kellerman.
I love it when Shannon does that.
Yeah.
Yo, Shannon,
Max will do more 90s. Max will do more 80s and 90s and shit. He'll do a Rakim,
you know,
and 90s shit.
Shannon to me just seems like he's just an everyday person, man. Like, I'll give you an example. On Speak for Yourself, Jim Jackson comes on. Man, you get it. You know, you learn nothing about anything when you listen to Jim Jackson talk. When Jim Jackson talks about
what's up with Jimmy Jackson? He does a good job.
When Jim Jackson talks about, I'm trying to highlight the difference between a guy like a Jim Jackson and a Shannon Sharpe, the ex-professional athletes being talked, giving their opinions about sports. When you listen to Jim Jackson and watch him talk, you feel like he's on a job interview. He does it like he's on a job interview for the show. Where it's like, oh yeah, if you know what I'm saying, my boy LeBron, what's good? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's being regular and normal. Where it just seems like Jim Jackson is so guarded and trying to be so perfect with his words and how he puts it together and how he explains a basketball player, and it makes me sick. I don't want to watch that shit.
I think you bugging, my nigga. Jim Jackson ain't that bad, bro.
Yo, my man, who would you rather listen to talk basketball? An ex-NBA player, Jim Jackson, or Shannon Sharpe?
Well, if you're talking about product knowledge, I'm going to go Jim Jackson. If you're talking about shits and giggles, I'm going Shannon.
So, Facts. Do you think when Shannon Sharpe talks basketball, it's shits and giggles?
Not all the time, but...
But you'd rather hear Jim Jackson talk about basketball with Jason Whitlock and Marcus Wiley. when you hear him talk about the Lakers,
having Marcellus Wiley over there on Speak for Yourself was a good acquisition by Jason Whitlock. That was a great acquisition.
It saved the show.
It did.
Because I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you something about Speak for Yourself.
I don't like Dante Jones too much, but whatever.
Jason Whitlock leaves the show and he goes to Fox News, and he plays up every negative racial stereotype against black athletes and justifies it on Fox News. Case in point, a extreme racist talk show guy on Fox Business named Stuart Varney said, "Are black people jealous of the New England Patriots because their major stars are white and come from two-parent homes?" And Jason Whitlock agreed with him and co-signed it. Jason Whitlock leaves that show and he does some of the worst cooning shit you'll ever see. Marcus Wiley saved that show. He saved it. The man is anti everything about basketball. Everything about a player empowering himself in basketball, he's against. I can't stand Jason Whitlock. So you got Jason Whitlock up there and then you got Shannon Sharp. Are you kidding me?
Jason Whitlock, listen, I know he said a lot of off the wall shit. Some shit he says I fuck with, some shit he says I don't fuck with. I'm not going to sit there and say I hate everything Jason Whitlock says. I can't say that. I don't agree with everything he says, especially when it comes to race and all that, but certain things he says, I do agree with. I do fuck with.
He calls LeBron a fraud. He calls Kaepernick a fraud. He calls any black athlete who acknowledges racism a fraud. I don't fuck with him at all. Shannon Sharpe makes me feel like somebody, like when you see Snoop come on the show, when you see Nelly come on the show, and you see the banter,
right,
the back and forth with them with Shannon, people comfortable around Shannon. And you can tell them, Snoop comes there with the yak. You know, fuck with Shannon, man.
That's what it is, man. Our Shannon Sharpe appreciation. Watson, take us home, man.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of Becky Lynch. PSA Hip Hop, the home of Becky Lynch. The man, Becky Lynch.
Becky, who the fuck is that?
WWE female champion.
I don't watch WWE no more, so I don't even know the fuck that is. Are you serious? I came from the Fabulous Moolah, Wendy Richter era, nigga. What are you talking about, man?
Yo, listen, she trends every Monday and Tuesday. Her catchphrase is, "I'm the man," which is a woman. And she fucks everybody up.
Nice.
She's everything you need to know. PSA Hip Hop, home of Becky Lynch, brother.
That's what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, it's your boy, Free and Watson, really in the back. I see my nigga. Y'all already know what it is, man. What?